And it involves the top people in society, like top officials within the Justice Department, police departments, connected to the royals in Belgium, in the Netherlands. And these pedophile dossiers are actually used to blackmail heads of states and politicians to secure deals. So to secure illegal deals, but maybe also just political deals. So blackmail is used as a currency. We see a similar pattern of deliberate failure by the justice and the police department. And then you see the same name pop up in another controversial case. Then you know that this is a gatekeeper within the Justice Department that has a certain role to protect the network.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Ella Stair coming back to the program. She came on a few weeks ago, and it was all about clearing all the dems and the deep state fight. At the very center of it is the child trafficking, the drug trafficking, what's going on. This is how the deep state runs their business model. They control the drug trafficking, the child trafficking, organ harvesting. They all use the same lanes. And the children in particular are used as blackmail. That's their currency to control people. I know it seems so out there, but it really is. And the experts that I'm talking to, it's not just experts, it's witnesses and people who've been involved on the ground. And it's such a traumatic thing to learn, so it takes a while to believe it. But the more and more people that you talk to, the more evidence you see, the more real it actually becomes evident that it's real. And so the bizarre behavior that we're seeing, you know, this globalist agenda that we're seeing play out now, why are local politicians, you know, they've been so infiltrated either by this communist agenda or they're blackmailed, because they're clearly doing things that are not in their best interest, the best interest of their family, or the best interest in the people that they're serving. And we're seeing that with, like, governments right now with hydroxychloroquine. And I have this article here that I'm going to bring up from the Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And what it's saying is that the government's been hoarding hydroxychloroquine, and most of the deaths from COVID-19 now are showing that they have not given these people hydroxychloroquine, even though the doctors or they would like to, or they're not being able to prescribe it. Doctors are afraid they're going to lose their license. And these people more than likely would have survived. What we're seeing is that the people who are getting the hydroxychloroquine who don't have a ton of other issues are surviving, they're recovering. The people who have a lot of comorbidities and it's just like one more thing and their body can't handle it, those are the ones that end up dying if they're given the proper treatments. And it's a shame. I mean, it's not just a shame, it's a crime against humanity. So we have this hydroxychloroquine. I also did an article on my website about the CDC numbers being BS. Essentially, the CDC numbers, the deaths this year from January to mid-May are statistically, the increase is statistically insignificant. And if you go to my website, it's on the front page. I just put this article out yesterday, and it shows the increase of deaths this year from last year. It's pretty consistent with what we've been seeing, but there's been 8 million new people in this country in the last 4 years. And there's been an incredible increase every year of the percentage of people over 65. So when you have a large society that is elderly or older, you're going to have more deaths because there's a lot more older people. So when you look at my article, I break all that down, how these numbers are just, it no way shows that there's a pandemic here in this country. And on top of that, if they would have given these poor people that had this virus hydroxychloroquine, they would have survived. And so all indications are this virus, there's something real, but it shouldn't kill you. And they're way exaggerating it and using it for another narrative. And the reason they're able to do this is because of mixed agendas. Some of them are eugenicists. Some of them are using it as a backdrop to redo the whole banking system. Some might want all of it. I don't know. The communist agenda, the agenda, the Green New Deal, to help save the earth. But also, these globalists want to control and make a one world government. And the people at the very top, they blackmail people with child pedophile rings. And we also have this enormous problem. I have another article called Pornification of Our Children, of our young girls and boys in our society. It's on my front page as well. And it talks about the fact that when a child creates a new social media account, if they don't make it private and keep it secret, if it ends up going public right away, she is absolutely bombarded with older men trying to reach out to her, asking, you know, showing, David, it talks about even them showing their naked parts and asking her to show that. And they are absolutely inundated with reaching out from these creeps. And what it's pointing to is that this situation has been going on for decades in our country, and the police, local police, have been told to hold back because the powers that be want these drug and this organ and this child sex trafficking rings to be free for their ability to run it so they can make money and control the blackmail rings. And even more indications is on our borders. The reason why there are so many authorities that want that border to stay open is because they need that drug trafficking and child trafficking rings and pedophile rings to stay open. And that's a huge place that they come through, is our southern border. We do have DACA kids and kids that, and good people that come through, but there has been many, many attempts to solve the DACA problem and to keep it from being a big problem in the future and to come up with some really good solutions. None of those ever pass. And none of them are given realistic ability to pass because they need those drug and sex trafficking rings to stay open. And for you that are out there that don't believe it, then you are just brainwashed, or your inability, your cognitive dissonance. And I know there are good people coming out. My family's from Mexico. My son's girlfriend is a DACA student. I know the struggles that people have, and that needs to be cleaned up. We all know it needs to be cleaned up. Many people die trying to get here because supposedly we're the land of the free, although not anymore. And so when you're seeing reasonable solutions not being able to be solved, it's because of these frickin' drug and child trafficking, sex trafficking rings. So having Alistair back here is so important so you can see not just in our country, but it's an international ring. And a lot of it stems out of Europe and the UN down to Washington, D.C. And she's going to talk about some of the European rings and some of the blackmailing that was actually happening by our D.C. to the Europeans. So she's going to get into that. These are hard episodes to do because you learn about things that are horrific. But it's really important that our society wakes up and understands why they're able to do these bizarre rules and things that they're doing right now with this virus. I'm hoping this virus wakes people up and they see that there's so much stupidity. This is why they're able to get away with all this stupidity, because of this blackmail system. Now, it's not all just child trafficking blackmail. Like, doctors are being blackmailed not to prescribe the hydroxychloroquine because they're afraid they're going to lose their license. And so they're blackmailed that way. And I say to them, you need to stand up and have some courage. And I realize you take away your whole livelihood. So it's hard to, I mean, we got to assess some of that, but they got to start taking these people to court. They got to push back, like the Texas doctor, I can't remember her name, but she pushed back and said, hey, you have no right to tell me what I cannot prescribe or can prescribe. And you have no right to ask me for what it's for, because we have health privacy laws. Because of that, they backed off and let her prescribe the hydroxychloroquine. Doctors everywhere can do the same thing. There's no reason they can have to bully you into letting your patients die. You need to get the courage to push back. And I know we've all been raised in this tight system of control. You got to break out of this and realize that in order to save lives, you need to have the courage to break out of that control structure that we've been put in for so long. And saying that, we are seeing increased censorship now On YouTube, you're like the London Reel, they have 1.8 million subscribers. Their views on average videos, I was amazed. I mean, some of them still get 80,000, which is still super low for their site, but a lot of them are getting 10,000, 20,000. They're looking like my site. I used to get over 100,000 regularly views on YouTube. Now I'm getting, you know, 10, 20,000 views. Absolutely absurd. So what I'm saying to you is please sign up for my newsletter. We got to get around the censorship. Newsletters, old-fashioned email, I think is going to be our way. If they totally crack down and shut this down, we are going to be in trouble. So go and sign up for my newsletter. BitChute numbers are growing for me. I'm getting significantly better BitChute numbers. And it's because it's obvious that they're not censoring. So you can sign up there. I have library. My podcast is available on all sorts of audio channels. It's pretty obvious that Apple is censoring me now because I was consistently in the top 20 in the United States. And then all of a sudden, one day, literally, and I'll bring up the chart right now because it's so obvious when you look at it, but it went and straight down. And then I've been just bumping up and down, and I think they're working hard to keep it lower. In fact, on YouTube, I don't know if I can find a picture. I took a picture, and I don't think I saved it, which is ridiculous, so I'll find another one, where I believe they're actually reducing my numbers because I'm finding negative numbers. When I look at it on a real-time basis, they show it minute by minute, I'm seeing negative numbers here and there, and that means that they're subtracting out. They over-subtracted their other algorithm to keep people from going to watch my stuff has been working, and so they over-subtracted how much they're reducing from the overall numbers that are viewing. So this is very, very serious, and get as many people as you can to sign up for my newsletter and to support this stuff. My Patreon, I post things on Patreon. Please sign up for my Patreon account. And it's serious. If you want to keep getting good information, you're going to have to get around the censorship and share this with all your friends. Share it with everybody, because I don't know how much time we have left to be able to get this information out there in these kind of channels. I know we're always going to have, well, I shouldn't say always, but we're going to have availability to get email out, and there are always going to be, or hope there will always be, smaller websites that'll pick up and run with the football and keep us in the game. But we have to count on that, hopefully, and get signed up for other sites and start using those other sites. And not just count on YouTube, not just count on the big players, Apple. So anyways, I want to tell you, Ella Stair is, that's a pseudonym. It's not her real name. She's doesn't like to, because she's doing really sensitive work. I'm just so glad that she's doing this interview with us and that she has the courage to do this, because this kind of work that she's doing is not very safe. And so I want to tell you, she did do a Patreon exclusive for me that you can get on Patreon. I also have another show up there on this mind control device that China is using on students to control their concentration level. You should go see that as well. Those are for patrons, and you can go to patreon.com/Sarah Westall for that. Let's get into this really important interview with Ella Stair. Ella, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you did that show couple weeks ago now, and it just showed the demand of what people really want to understand this material, because it is such a big part of the underbelly of what's going on, the big blackmail rings that are affecting all of our governments. And this story that you're going to tell us, the cases is the European, the big pedophile rings and blackmail in Europe. Can you talk about this kind of at a high level before we get into it, of what the importance of this particular blackmail pedophile ring is and who it involves?
Right. Well, usually when cases like these break in the news, they're presented as standalone cases. But when you investigate them, they're all connected. So in this show, I would like to expose a Dutch-Belgian pedophile ring that is actually extending into Western Europe. And it involves the top people in society, like top officials within the Justice Department, police departments, connected to the royals in Belgium, in the Netherlands. And these pedophile dossiers are actually used to blackmails heads of states and politicians to secure deals. So to secure illegal deals, but maybe also just political deals. So blackmail is used as a currency.
Yeah, and that's what I'm seeing, is that's how they control everyone, is through blackmail. The politicians, the heads of state, the heads of governments, or the heads of large corporations, trafficking rings, drug cartels. I mean, you name it. It's all about blackmail. And you keep seeing this as you're investigating. Can you start telling us kind of, because I know when you did, we started talking about this before, it connects in with Germany and all the parents started seeing their kids come up in these lists. Can you talk about how it became, it enraged so many people and people were actually protesting and it still didn't go anywhere?
Yes, and I think that it's good to start briefly with the Marc Dutroux case, that maybe people outside of Belgium and the Netherlands are not so familiar with. But Marc Dutroux was a Belgian child molester in the 90s, and he kidnapped children for an elite battle ring. He was eventually arrested in 1996 for the disappearance of six girls. And convicted for the murder of four girls. They were buried in his backyard. And two of the girls were kept captive in his basement, and they survived. What's really interesting about this case is that it took them 8 years to get him prosecuted, to get him convicted, because they, the first investigative judge, Jean-Marc Conrot, he called out witnesses to step forward with their testimony that would be related directly or indirectly with the Marc Dutroux case, and he promised them anonymity. So these are the called ex-witnesses. So they, instead of the name, they would put an X with a number in their file. And there were at least 69 ex-witnesses. And they started to talk about satanic ritual abuse and elite pedo rings, where children sometimes were killed, and high top officials from the Justice Department were involved, and the police commissioners, royals. They spoke about human hunting parties in castles in Belgium. Pedo parties in castles in the Netherlands. And one of the ex-witnesses later on stepped forward under her real name, and her name is Regina Louf. She was a witness of satanic ritual abuse. She witnessed a lot of horrific stuff. She described that some children would disappear because they were used for snuff movies. And the entire Belgian state was in a state of panic, because it implicated a lot of people in very powerful positions. So they had to get rid of this investigative judge, and they found an excuse to replace him. And the new one was a novice and basically just a puppet. And, you know, the first investigative judge said, Marc Dutroux is part of an international pedophile ring, and or maybe a network. Maybe he didn't use pedophile ring, but network. And the second one did a 180. No, he was a lonely, crazy guy. He had some help with some people, but it was all small scale. Well, during that process, 30 witnesses were killed. Suicided, or they died in mysterious car accidents.
And that was that after the new judge came in?
Yeah, I think during the entire process. And
okay.
It took 8 years to get him convicted. And I got a lot of information a few years ago from an informant that used to work for the Belgian police when they were doing their investigation. And he had to give them information about what was taking place in the Netherlands. And based on the information that he shared with me, I know that the Marc Dutroux network was connected to the pedophile ring in the Netherlands. So they're operating internationally. And it also ties into this case that we talked about the last time about this extensive child porn collection.
Yeah, and I want you to talk about that before we move on. But first, I want to ask, what happened to the judge that was removed? How were they able to just remove him?
He showed up at a fundraising sort of event where they were raising funds for the parents of the victims. And he had accepted a pen that was given as a gift, as a sort of memorial thing. And they said, well, you accepted gifts, so you can be bribed and you're not objective anymore.
Oh, geez. Okay. They made something.
Yes.
They
made something up.
Yeah. They entrapped them, kind of, or made it up,
yes.
Which they do all the time. They just make it up, and then the press all does it in uniform. They uniformly back that idea, and the next thing you know, the sheep, the people believe it.
Well, I don't think the Belgian people believed it because they were very, very angry.
Well, that's good.
And this Marc Dutroux case almost broke the nation. Belgium is divided in two parts, the Flemish part and the French part. It involved the royal family and it almost forced them to abdicate, basically. So.
So bringing in this new judge just settled everybody down? I mean, once the judge said, no, it's just this guy, they believed it? Or what happened after that?
I think it took some years, but Marc Dutroux started to write from prison that he was indeed part of a larger network. And there was a poll a couple of years ago, and it showed that 80% of the Belgian people do not believe the official story.
And yeah, I think if we all united, we could. The point is that people maybe don't have the courage to stand up for it, or they don't know what to do. So will you explain what happens? And we're going to talk about solutions at the end, so we can start talking about what we can do. But will you explain the German connection? Because that's a big deal too.
Right. I know that Marc Dutroux was connected to child traffickers in Amsterdam. He was connected to the guy that was running this child pornography network. But another person, another case that is maybe more overlooked that took place in the Netherlands is Michel Stocks. And he also originates from Belgium, actually roughly the same area, the same region as Marc Dutroux. But he moved to the Netherlands, to the northeast in Assen. And he was active as a child trafficker. He was an international truck driver, and he drove through all sorts of European countries. And he is connected to at least disappearances in the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, and France. And this case is absolutely connected to the Marc Dutroux case. And we see a similar pattern of deliberate failure by the justice and the police department. We saw it in the Marc Dutroux case. We saw it in the Michel Stocks case, where they try to kill the investigation, try to release them with a stupid excuse.
Well, what do you think that is? Do you think that the police themselves are being blackmailed, or do you think they're actually participating? They're pedophiles as well. I mean, what do you think? Is it all of the above?
Well, what we did was we connected a lot of cases together. And, you know, these abuse cases are presented as standalone things, but you see similar names pop up When you see, for instance, a public prosecutor that is involved in a very controversial court ruling, where you know because you have intel about this, the victims that gave more information, and then you see the same name pop up in another controversial case, then you know that this is a gatekeeper within the Justice Department that has a certain role to protect the network. And I think that's the case. So the majority of the people within the police and justice department are probably decent people, want to do their job. A percentage of this group knows about what's going on at the top, but do not participate, but are scared to speak out. And then there's key people and key positions in all sorts of organizations. So the police department, justice department, media, child protection services, and things like that. And they have to protect the network. So if a story is about to break, they control the damage. And we see this over and over again. And to go back to this Michel Stocks case, he was finally convicted for the kidnapping and murder of three children, one Dutch and two German children. And he was sentenced for, he had got a really long prison sentence, and he was sent to the prison in The Hague, Scheveningen, the beach town next to The Hague. And the Belgian police interrogated him because they were doing the criminal investigation in regards to Marc Dutroux. And they went there 100 times. Now, it's quite a drive from, Belgium to The Hague, so it must have taken them 2, maybe 3 hours with heavy traffic. So if you go there for a certain length of time. So if they go there 100 times
Wow.
to talk to this guy, he had a lot of information about the Dutroux case. And then a few years later, he died in a mysterious burn accident, a few years before Marc Dutroux was convicted. So I think he was silenced.
Wait, wasn't there a book or something out? There's material, and the German parents actually identified their children.
Yes, I think you're referring to the Zandvoort case, which is actually a Dutch case. It's a large collection of child pornography that was discovered at the same in the same year as the, well, actually during the time when Marc Dutroux was being criminally investigated. And the thing that triggered that pornography collection was the search for a German boy that was kidnapped in Berlin, and had ended up in a brothel in Rotterdam and later Amsterdam. And so that's how this private investigator, Marcel Verfloesem, ended up in this apartment where you had all these computers lined up, uploading and downloading child pornography. And they confiscated the CD-ROMs and they put it together in this book where they only put the photo, the portrait of the children for the parents to identify their missing child or the children that they thought had been abused. And that's connecting France, Netherlands, Belgium, England, Germany. It's an international collection.
How did they get so much of this child pornography? I mean, the pornography rings themselves must be all tied to these creeps. I mean, it's just a gold mine of
Yes.
figuring out who these guys are.
Yeah, it, again, it's really shocking to even fathom the scale of this abuse that was taking place. When you look at the Marc Dutroux case, there was one girl that was missing, being part of that network, Katrien de Kuyper, that ended up in this child porn collection. But we've also investigated abuse cases that took place at primary schools, believe it or not, where children were abused during school time. They were taken to tunnels and basements underneath the school or to outside locations outside school. And roughly between 1989 and 2000, we had several of these abuse cases. And if you sort of add up the numbers, the real numbers that I get from insiders, we're talking about hundreds of children just in the Netherlands, just these cases that broke the news. And there may be cases that we don't even know about.